Jack Wilson Quartet and Roy Ayers with Ramblin'. It's an Ornette Coleman composition. Jack Wilson on piano, Roy Ayers, of course, on vibes, Monk Montgomery on bass, and Varner Barlow on drums. This is a title track of their 1966 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's an action-packed day all over the place. People are doing things because they have to respond to the coronavirus and its impact on elections and the economy and all these various areas that the coronavirus has affected. But a couple of things, just the same. The coronavirus vaccine distribution, as you know, begins today across the country. But in many parts of the country, there is great distrust of the government and of the vaccine itself. So how will people come to terms with that? How will the system itself come to terms with that when people are showing marked apprehension about taking part in the distribution of the vaccine, taking the vaccine, which supposedly is going to alleviate a major problem? But theirs is an attitude that goes back many, many decades. And it still hasn't left them. People remember the days of almost genocidal medicine, quote unquote, being practiced, and people dying from the cure, especially people of color in this country, and the poor. And here we are again at another juncture when it is supposed that they should eagerly embrace the solutions that are available now. This is the coronavirus vaccine. And still, people persist in this attitude. So it remains to be seen what will be done about that. Also, some questions. Why are only government-approved vaccines approved? Why not open up to the possibility that there may be alternatives that may be effective without having the same kind of heavy effect? And people are also skeptical about that. Sometimes they say the cure is worse than the disease, and this is such a case. Why is there no accommodation of alternative methods that people might more quickly accept than this, you know, stuff built, actually, that's the right word, built in a lab somewhere and then loaded up on trucks so that it must be kept at below freezing temperatures and all of this kind of stuff. But people are not talking about alternative means, and it seems to me that part of the discussion ought to be as comprehensive as possible, findings as to what is working or what might work. But we have only one-dimensional response, and that is what is coming out of the labs. And that is the cure, and that is what people are supposed to just roll up their sleeves and get the needle in the arm, and they would have been considered well on their way to being relieved of this coronavirus. We'll talk about that. Today also is the day that the electoral college, the electors, the people who formally and officially pronounce who the president is after an election and the votes are counted and verified some more. And they are the ones who determine in the final analysis. They make the final pronouncement as to who the president is. Well, obviously, we have reason to believe that Joe Biden will officially be pronounced President of the United States based on the counts that were done over and over again. And now the electors, these are the people elected by the votes to represent the voters and what they say. And the voters, they say, have said Joe Biden is the winner. Not Donald Trump, not Joe Dokes, not Penny Pokes, but Joe Biden is the winner. So we'll see how that goes over. We know in Trump land that it's not going to go over very well at all. It's going to be a problem. And once more, the conspiracy theories are going to abound. They're going to explode. Yet another conspiracy against Donald Trump, who, by gosh, has won this election, has he? Has he not? This is an amazing thing to see where this country is at this time, with all of the intellectual might that is available, with all of the progress that could be made, with all of the extraordinary feats that have been accomplished already, and yet more to come. This is where we are. The country has been ruled for 4 years by a man with serious psychological, mental, emotional deficits, and not to mention the pervasive odor of criminality all the way throughout his administration. This is a very nasty time for the past 4 years, but it has come to a crescendo here as the nation chooses a new president. And the new president, Biden, who escaped the clutches of Trump several times and the traps laid, or the traps Trump thought that he laid for Biden, they didn't work. They backfired or were just so ineffective as to be embarrassing that he even tried these things. But he has no shame, and he is dedicated to not just winning, but dominating. Everybody must obey him and regard him as Lord of Lords. Well, you know, that just proves what I said a couple of seconds ago about a person so demented, unable to keep in focus reality and just where he is with respect to this process. But we will talk about those things that you want to talk about. I laid out some broad ideas about things that would be of interest to talk about today, and what your comments and concerns are. It is an unusual time, for sure. It's very unusual, and people have all kinds of ideas of how to, quote, solve it, unquote. But I'm afraid it's not that easy. There are so many complications here. But one step at a time, let's at least determine who is currently with the vote by the the official board, the people who say they are the ones, the people who have the right to pronounce who the winner is. Let's see what they say and where we go. But always keep in mind that in a way, this is still experimental. Why do we have that feeling that certain things are not settled? Although people keep telling us, well, this is how it works. Yeah, but there are so many instances in which the system departs from the way it works, and it is made to work a different way. This particular election cycle is one of them. The government had not worked the way it was supposed to work, but now people are expected to fall back in line and have faith and trust that the system is getting itself back together under a new president. Not too long from now, we will be discussing our concerns about the new president. But for now, let's take one thing at a time. What is the situation? Do we have a winner? Do you like the fact that we have a winner? Do you think there ought to be a different winner? Do you think this was a conspiracy to produce this particular result? Are you okay with what is determined as a winner? What are your thoughts? 888-874-4888. Of course, we are finding our way as well. I am not pretending that I am an expert in election law, because every time I think I'm expressing an opinion that is considered settled law, then something comes out from the woodwork and reminds us, no, there's a fight to be had, and they will invent all kinds of ways and means to get into a fight, even though it is to the minds and hearts of people. We shouldn't be involved in these kinds of elementary fights, which become, and they explode into big issues. We thought we had this thing together, this thing called an election. We thought we had it together. We thought we had the procedures down pat and how it's supposed to work and so forth. We thought we had all of that together. Turns out we don't, because the entire nation, in Congress even, had fallen victim to this idea that they had to please one person. Donald Trump had to be pleased. And, of course, his mentality is, it's all about me. So I will do everything possible to frustrate the process. And he succeeded in diverting attention, in getting people unnecessarily worked up, in creating new scenarios that just did not exist, and being indulged, fully indulged, because, well, he's Donald Trump. So the rules can't go the way they're supposed to go, the way they have been going for decades and decades, but now we have to placate this one person, and he is never, ever to be placated. He just is not to be satisfied. 888-874-4888. We're talking about the day of the premiering of the vaccine program. We ask questions about why. Is there only one solution? Is there no alternative? People supposed to just go with the flow and take this vaccine, even if they have apprehensions, which are justifiable, I would argue, given the history of medicine and the many, many instances in which medicine itself as an institution had failed the people, deceived the people. And now it is expecting people to have 100% faith in what it is it's doing and saying. 888-874-4888. Now, one thing I wanted to ask for your attention on is, how would you categorize our state of being right now as a nation? It is not just, after all, about a vaccine. It's not about who won. It's what is the state of affairs in this nation? Are we okay with it? Do we feel safe as citizens of the nation on all these various levels? Is the concept of democracy working, in that the purpose of government is to see to the needs of the people as expressed by the people themselves? How are you with the state of affairs, this contract between government and society that's supposed to exist? Do you think it still holds, or do you think something has happened in the recent past and we're seeing an evolution in terms of how government perceives itself and how the people perceive government? Okay, we start with Ed from Jamaica. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Yatrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. Thank you.
Basically, I want to address the vaccine topic. I feel very strongly about this. I mean, as far as the country and the state of mind the country is in, I feel it's in one of fear. It's in one of fear and confusion. We're not getting correct information. We're not being allowed to have options. And we should, in quote-unquote a democracy, have freedom of will and freedom to listen to opposing viewpoints without the persons or person being presenting these viewpoints to be considered a conspiracy nut or heretic or heresy. This vaccine is not a vaccine as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't adhere to what normal vaccines do. It wasn't created normally. It's a genetic, basically it's a genetic messenger that's causing your cells to create a protein, which if you believe what they're saying, will ward off this virus. Viruses mutate. There's never been a successful cure for the common cold because every year we get a new strain of flu or strain of cold virus. So as far as practical information, I'm telling people, look into the health department. I've done it myself. And if you can, try to petition the health department to say, because of religious beliefs or because of a conscious objection, you're refusing to take this vaccine. Because if we don't get ahead of this thing, it's going out of fear. I fear it will become a mandate. And it's harder to pull back something than it is to stop it. It's harder to pull back a bad idea than it is to stop it before it develops traction. And the way that this is going down, the climate of this country, the way that people are acting off of fear, the way that people are acting off of emotion and allowing that to control the logical thought processes and the obvious questions that we should be asking at this time, and we are not, it's disturbing. And I just think there should be a call to sanity. Let's take a look at this thing. Let's consider alternatives. Let's not just go with some laboratory pushed out concoction in hopes that it will stem a tide, which might not really be what it's portrayed to be.
So let me ask you, let's say you're part of the government looking at what they said and labeled as a pandemic. This is very serious. Disease everywhere. and it's claiming hundreds of thousands of lives, people already dead and people in the process of dying. It has to do something. What do you recommend the posture of the government should be? Should it not hurry up and come up with something? Or should it just do a palliative, a temporary hold off and until they could come up with something better?
Listen, there are a myriad of things that could have been done in addition and before this. First of all, universal health care, a government mandate. Allowing anybody who gets sick to go into a hospital and not have to worry about medical bills, not have to worry about health care, not have to worry about paying, going broke or debt. That should have been paramount. That would have been my first step. Universal health care. We're mandating free health care for everybody. So whatever, if you want to get tested, if you're sick, whatever, since a lot of the deaths of this virus are due to a comorbidity or pre-existing conditions, let's service that. Let's start there. That's a ground base to start. We're going from one extreme to the other, and it's based in fear. People are acting off of fear. I see people sitting in their cars wearing masks. You don't need to wear a mask in your car if your windows are closed. You know, I see people alone sitting around wearing masks or practicing. You know, the logic behind this, the science behind this, the questions behind this, all of these things we've been doing since January. In March and April, we're supposed to be flattening the curve. And then we get a resurge. Why is there a resurge if people have been practicing flattening the curve? In New York, we were supposed to be a model state for flattening the curve. Professionals are saying we're twice as worse than we were in March. It doesn't make sense. Things are being said that don't add up, that don't collect. And when I try to confront some professionals or people on this, they don't have answers, or they give you a roundabout answer that doesn't make any sense. And if you do question it, and qualified professionals have questioned it, they're ostracized. They're called nuts. They're called kooks. Listen, DNA is the life block, building blocks of making us human. I don't want anything that's going to mess with that without it being tested and tested and tested and tested ad infinitum until I'm going to put it in my body. This is the state of affairs that we really need to take a look at. We really need to use our intellect and question everything.
All right. Well, you got us started. And on several serious notes, thanks so much, Ed, for your contribution today. Patricia from New York, you're on the air. How are you?
Just fine. Thank you, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. As I previously said, unfortunately, the narrative has already been indoctrinated into everyone, from the public up to all of the medical providers and practitioners. Everybody is saying the same thing. You know, here in New York, they televised the first nurse in New York City who received the vaccine this morning. And of course, if you had listened to her about how, you know, this was a pandemic and everyone should believe that the vaccine is safe, you would have thought, my God, she's reading a public service announcement. So I want to expand on what Ed just said, because my concern is that the information, the narrative is not just in this country. The narrative is worldwide. And you look at all the oppressors, you look at the UK, you look at the US, you look at France, they have all decided, Australia, they have all decided that this is the narrative and this is what's going to be forced on the public around the world. If they're beginning to talk about, you know, universal passports where you now have to document either your vaccination status or your test status, which means you can't move from state to state or country to country now without sharing this very personal information. So that's what alarms me more than anything else, the control of people's health worldwide.
Well, what do you say to the argument that, comparatively speaking, the individual's concerns are not nearly as important as the aggregate concerns of the state or of countries of the world. And it is, in fact, a pandemic. People are dying by the millions now, if you add up all the different countries and the victims of coronavirus. But what alternative do they have to respond to an evident need, a pressing and evident need?
Well, if you look at the countries that have gotten their transmission rates under control, they did it prior to this vaccine being released. So what did they do? And is their response a model for what we should be doing?
Go on. This is interesting. You started. That's a very interesting thought.
I don't know what more to say. I mean, I think there are other things that could have been done. Again, looking at what other countries did to get their rates under control, in addition to some of the other things that we know that do not involve a vaccine. Certainly, you know, the supplements that can be taken, which were part of the treatment that Trump and company received when they became infected. So there are other things that could have been done rather than the imposition of this vaccine on the public.
But you see a definitive political link with all of this going on. And am I going to be off center if I say also a racial implication here as well?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because they're promoting it, first of all, for people in long-term care facilities, which for the most part are our seniors, right? And then they're promoting it to communities of color. Well, I propose, and I certainly could be wrong on this, but I propose that they have decided that seniors in long-term care facilities are expendable, and number two, that so are communities of color. And so those are the number one and number two targets that this is being targeted to. And I don't think I'm off center here.
Do you think that there should have been or still should be some discussion as regards the vaccine being the only way to go?
Absolutely. But unfortunately, that decision was made a long time ago. It's like when the police, you know, have a theory and they lock into one theory and they exclude every other theory. That decision was made a long time ago. This decision was made that the vaccine was going to be the way to go, and that was it. So that decision was made a long time ago.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks, Patricia. Always a thought-provoking point of view. Thank you.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. While we give you some time to assemble your thoughts, we'll take this break, and we'll come right back. The lead stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about developments today. We have the so-called the official namers of the president. Their work today is to officially name the president. And we expect that person would be the person that we've been told so long ago looks like the likely president, and that's Joe Biden. Of course, this is not going to sit well with the soon-to-be ex-president, Donald Trump, but them's the breaks. There's enough evidence to suggest that the law was followed, the way it was supposed to go, and the result has been determined, and the winner is Joe Biden. In the not-too-distant future, we'll have some issues to discuss about Joe Biden, but not today. We're talking about who actually won the election today, so that, you know, we're creeping along to through the process. This is how it's done. It has been frustrated for no reason other than Trump felt he can just do exactly that, just frustrate the process. But finally, the electors have met today, and they will have chosen the president of the United States, and we could get on with life. 888-874-4888. In the meantime, we're talking about today being the rollout, the official rollout of this vaccine that is supposed to combat the coronavirus. And there are major concerns about it. Every effort is being made to give us the impression that things are moving along smoothly. A hiccup here, maybe a hiccup there, but essentially it is under control, and it concerns the distribution of a vaccine. We know that this has provoked serious reaction in the communities of color and also in communities that have knowledge and remember the role of so-called medicine in not curing disease, but in fact creating and promoting it. And so these same communities, basically in a kind of hereditary fashion, have inherited the same attitude about viruses or anything like that that the government, as a government, is responding to. And this concerns the coronavirus at the moment, and there's great resistance to it, and it's building. Nana from New York, you're on the air.
Okay, yeah, I want to talk about Ed and Patricia, who talked previously, and I was cut off, so I don't know who else talked. But you have a fantastic, educated group of people who are calling in. We need a contact number. We can come together and do something about with these great, fantastic suggestions that we have, because we're in big trouble, okay? And we have to stop having these conversations where we don't go further with it, do something about it. And we need a support. You need a support system, and we need a support system. We can come together and get an email where we can all come together and pull together, because the ones who are supposed to have the vaccination are the political people, the Wall Street people, you know. They're not going to have it. Who are they going to? Going to the elderly who's sick. They're going to the health workers who's helping the 99% population. Okay, we get rid of them, get rid of the old elderly people, and get rid of the people of color, and then it's just us, the white boys, okay, to say either or. But it's important that we do something other than giving our intelligence feedback. And then next, we need to do more than this. You're a fantastic commentator, but we need to get an email where we can come together and do something about it, because we're in dire need, you know? this vaccine is deadly for us. Any foolish person who takes it is doomed. And we all going to be doomed because it's going to be mandatory for all of us because no one is coming up and saying no, no, no. I mean, we have an armored brain fog elephant and a hee-haw tailless donkey who's representing us. This is not fair. We need a human being. And there are not many of that around because whenever we find a human being, they're cut off, you know? They're cut off their life system. We need some more human beings. And we need to do some in the foxhole work behind the scenes to do something.
Well,
thank you very much. We love you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. First, we ought to talk. And in talking, you find a way that we can make a valuable contribution. And that in and of itself is a valuable contribution because people don't get a chance to talk. They don't have space to talk.
I agree with you. We're doing the talking, okay? And you're egging on people to talk. But the second phase, right behind the first phase, is action.
Yes.
We need an email to come together behind the scenes and formulate our own, I don't want to say the word, just to formulate our own group. Let's put that word. Group is a very general statement. To form our own strong group because we got a thing going on. All these fantastic people are calling in to you who respect you, okay, and understand what you represent. But we don't make a contact. All I'm saying, we need a contact email for us to come together and do something. That's all I'm saying. We love you, okay, but we need a little bit more. That's what I'm saying.
I got it.
Okay, thank you for getting it. We love you, sis.
Thank you very much, Nana, for your call today. That is a very strong point, and you can't argue against it, that beyond the talking, we have to actualize. We have to have the talking result in some kind of action that creates a difference, that changes things. Of course, you know, I'm partial to talking because I think we don't really talk enough. We assume that people know. We assume that people ought to get it. But talking is a very viable and vital resource that we have to use and begin to use properly. I've been talking about that with respect to the Free Your Mind Friday. Develop the skills to be out in public, to put your case before the public, and to elicit reaction. That's what we have to do. You know, sometimes people think that what's the point? It's no big deal. You could do that. No, it's also a science, and we have to learn how to use the various media effectively to get our point across. And it is part, whether we want to admit it or not, but it is part of the process of creating contact between and among people who share a vision. They sometimes only realize that they have a shared vision when they start communicating with each other. And it would help if we can get a head start with that, getting used to the idea of communicating and communicating effectively and at a particular level. These folks that we're up against, they're not playing, and they have all kinds of ways to frustrate our effort. They have all kinds of outlets that they can turn to support their ideological perspective. We are the ones who assume that people will get our point, but we have to work at that as well. So that is something we have to walk and chew gum at the same time. We certainly have to. because we pressed for time. Things are happening quickly. Decisions are being made outside of our view and outside of our ability to influence outcomes. And so we have to up our game, our communications game. We have to increase it and become more proficient at it. 888-874-4888. This is a very significant day in that we have the intersection between politics and policy. We have the naming, officially the naming of a new president, and we have an immediate task that must be accomplished, but it can only be accomplished when addressed by the person who has the authority to do something, and that is the president. So this is a very significant day, and we should take it very seriously. Whether we like Joe Biden or don't like Joe Biden is not the issue. The issue is that his job requires him to respond to the people. The question is, what are we giving him as a demand? We just talked about the fact that the distribution of the vaccine has already begun, and we don't see any accommodation for people who have alternative views about the health care they receive, including and perhaps especially regarding vaccines. So that's how the question from the word go. Should we not press the point that is there only one way to go as far as the president or the incoming president is concerned? And that is get more and more vaccines out there, because we're dealing with a pandemic. No matter what people believe, seriously believe, might be serious downsides to this vaccine. We have to insist on being heard. And so we have to know how to use these various forms of media to our advantage. All right, we still have quite a few minutes that you can come in to the conversation and let us know what you're thinking on this day, this very significant day. How is it going to affect us as a nation, this particular day? From this day onward, what do you expect to happen? What will the mood of the people be? What will the mood of the president or new incoming president be? Are we going to see eye to eye? Are we going to accommodate those who we believe are being left out of this whole process and to their detriment? We need to have these conversations. We cannot repeat the dead rules of the past. They do bring death, that's it. They guarantee death. We want to change the attitude of government, especially in the way it responds to the demands of people. That is a major problem and has been in this country. The attitude always has been the government decides what it's going to do, and your job and my job is to fall in line and do it. We have to change that. And we have to change it this time around. We cannot allow this attitude to prevail, because it's detrimental, absolutely detrimental to this whole idea of a thriving, living democracy where people can have some assurance that they're being heard. Ephraim Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees.
Hello. Good afternoon to you.
I think people have to keep their head about themselves and keep it screwed on tight, not get all flustered and crazy over things bad enough, what we're dealing with. You know, it's like the proverbial iceberg in the water there, you know? You see the thing on the top is something to fear, but the worst fear is under the water because you can't see how far that iceberg goes out. You don't know how far you need to be away from it. And that's how the media is the top of the iceberg, and they're giving us the surface story when we're being led this way and that way. What we need to realize is, as long as we have faith, we'll be safe, because we know how karma works. And this whole reality that we've been living in for the last 2,000 years and before that has all just been waiting. The rich have been waiting for technology to create machines to take our place, so then they wouldn't need us anymore to be bothered with. And when that point happens, then this is what we're dealing with on the surface here now, because people are being eliminated and we don't know really what's going on. So we're guessing. Why are we so afraid to see other possibilities? Why do we always have to stick with the story we're getting from the news? Anytime somebody has a different opinion, we want to like, well, where's your proof? Well, where's this? We're policing each other for their sake. We're helping them keep us controlled by policing each other. It's a real conundrum, Eutrice. I try to add a little here, a little there, and try to get it all into one big picture. But it's very difficult to do because every day we're being attacked with new things. See, I'm getting into a circle here because this is how they want us.
And contributing today. I understand where he's going. He's already getting choked up because there's so much to say, and he's having a hard time, as I think we all are having a rough time trying to make it exact what it is we're feeling. It's very difficult to do in these times. Mike from Florida, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Teresa, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, okay, great. Thanks for taking my call. This whole media propaganda campaign, it is so diabolical. Now, to date, COVID deaths worldwide is 1.6 million people. However, Eutrice, tuberculosis, TB, which is transmitted through the air, has been killing 1.5 million people for the last several years. And there was no pandemic declared for TB. There was no social distancing declared for TB. Nobody was told to wear a mask because TB is a pandemic. No airports were closed to people coming from various countries which are high TB infected. And when COVID disappears, tuberculosis will still be killing 1.5 million per year, as it has been for the last several years. Now, why is one a pandemic and the other is not a pandemic? There is something wrong here, very wrong.
Well, there are a couple of answers to that as well. And it goes into how does a pandemic become a pandemic?
It's created by the media.
No, not the media. Not the media at all. The media is just literally the middleman between the source of the information and the intention of the information.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Utrice, but, you know, if the WHO figures have been, you know, what it is, and this is where the figures come from about the TB infections worldwide, when COVID disappears, we're still going to have the 1.5 million again and again and again, because this has been what it is over the last several years for tuberculosis, and that's a very contagious thing. No mask wearing if TB is so bad. No restrictions from countries where TB is a high incidence from coming into other countries and traveling. I mean, there is something wrong with the story. It's not adding up. And
let me ask you, to your own mind, what do all the TB dominant countries have in common that you could ascertain for yourself?
I'm still, you know, skeptical about so much, Utrice, but I just wanted to share that perspective. Thank you so much.
I agree, but thank you. But please answer the question, because you were on it and then you ignored it. And it is the crux of the issue. It's a very political decision.
That too.
What?
Yeah.
It's a very political decision. What makes TB and cholera and these other diseases stand out as diseases that should be paid attention to and others not?
Yeah. I hear you.
You say yeah, but you sound like you think you know. But you wouldn't say.
I'm just tired of this whole thing in every respect.
Me too. But you know, we find out when we stick to it and we insist on an answer, we insist on finding it, we do find it. And these things that come to us as mysteries wrapped in a puzzle, they really are not. They're quite evident.
Yeah. The politics of medicine, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, indeed. And it's more than that.
I understand. Thank you so much, Utrice.
Thank you very much, Mike, for calling. And that brings us to the end of our program today. You see, what just happened is Mike knows, he feels strongly that he knows, and I feel strongly that he knows too. But we both are not incorporating this as part of our daily narrative. We don't want to deal with it. We're reluctant to deal with it. We're reluctant to face down the people who do know but do nothing. But we'll get there. We'll get there because we have to take it on as a personal mission. Because the people who have died, the people who are suffering now, deserve it. They deserve to have that advocacy. And we are in a position to do something that could change this whole attitude globally. We start small, but we could have a larger vision. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing today. And we'll talk a bit some more tomorrow. Bye-bye.